Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word morning reflection. And we are in a new passage of scripture this week. We talked about it yesterday, in introduction, and that is Luke chapter 9, verses 20 through 26. So if you have your Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it. Let's all turn together. I'm going to read through the passage, and then we're going to begin dealing with the first concept that is so very important to being able to understand the text in front of us, and then ultimately to apply it. And so we're going to consider the implications of the cross this morning together. So Luke chapter 9, verse 20 says this, "And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. He straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and the priests and the scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said unto them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." Now, this passage of scripture shows us something that's very important about the connection between what happens when a person understands the gospel. There's a genuine repentance toward God. There's a recognition of sin. There's a desire to be saved from sin and be reconciled to God. And a person turns to God, places their faith alone in the finished work of Christ. They're trusting in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, Jesus' words show us that when a person comes face to face with the gospel, and by the grace of God, they place their faith alone in the finished work of Christ, and they receive the free gift of eternal life through the redemptive work of Christ, there is something that happens to them. They are positionally changed. And we're going to talk a lot about this throughout the week. But one of the things that Jesus is driving at is that when a person is saved, they've trusted Christ, there are certain inherent changes that take place in them that set them in opposition to the world around them to some degree. And when that happens, the world is going to respond to the Christian in a very similar way to the way that they respond to Christ himself in the gospel, because Jesus is our identity. His person, his work, the nature of his work, all of those things, when we place our faith in Christ, we become united with him, and we are now identified with who he is and what he did. And so that's going to have tremendous implications, and that's what Jesus is dealing with in the passage before us. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to consider the implications of the cross. What do we know because of the cross of Christ? And there are three things that I'd like us to focus our attention on this morning. The first is what the cross reveals about God. The cross reveals the holiness of God and his tremendous love for humanity. And there's a word that I want to remind you of this morning. If you've never heard it, then I'm going to teach you about it. If it's something that you're familiar with, it's going to be something you're reminded about. And that's the word propitiation. Propitiation is a word that is not used often in our churches, sadly, but the concept is at the heart of the gospel. The word propitiation means the satisfaction of God's just wrath against our sin by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, the shedding of his blood was to pay a price for our sin. And the word we use is propitiation. The wrath of God against our sin was satisfied by the sacrifice of Christ. Now, that may make some people feel uncomfortable, and they say, hold on a second, I don't like to hear that Jesus had to die physically on the cross for my sin, that he had to shed his blood, that God is angry against sin. But folks, that is at the heart of the gospel. If you do not believe that Jesus literally, physically died on the cross for your sins, and that the shedding of his blood was necessary for the removal of our guilt, and that Christ's sacrifice actually satisfied God's wrath against sin, then you don't understand the gospel. In fact, if you truly reject what's being said, you're actually rejecting the most fundamentally significant component to the gospel. The Bible is full of examples of this concept of propitiation. Let me remind you of a few. For instance, in Isaiah 53, verse 10, it says this: "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. When you will make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." You see the word "please" to bruise him, make his soul an offering for sin. He will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He will bear their iniquities. All of these statements connect back to this concept of propitiation. In Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, it says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, God hath set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins in times past, that he might be the justifier and he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." You see the concept of propitiation. He actually uses the word faith in his blood, the remission of our sins. We see that the cross literally removes our guilt through the payment of a price. Or in 1 John chapter 2, 1 to 2, he says, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not ours only, the sins of the whole world." So literally, when someone says, "Oh, you've sinned against God, so there's no way you could go to heaven," Jesus says, "Hold on, I am his advocate. I went to the cross. The wrath of God against my child's sin has been removed. It's been satisfied by my personal payment." That's really what it means when it says Jesus is an advocate before the Father. Or 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. "In this was manifest the love of God towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so you see in these verses that God's wrath was satisfied through the death of Christ on the cross. And so the cross reveals the holiness of God, God's wrath against sin, and the tremendous love that God has for his children. He was willing to send his Son to the cross to bear our guilt, to pay our price, so that we could be forgiven and cleansed and we could be let go. Wonderful, wonderful concept. Important. This is at the heart of the gospel. The second thing I want to mention, though, is that the cross not only reveals God's hatred for sin and his holiness and his wrath against our sin, but it reveals the world's hatred for God. You say, well, hold on a second. How does it reveal the world's hatred for God? Well, it reveals it because the cross was the mechanism that the world chose to send Christ to his death. Okay? Now, it is true that the cross serves implications for us in that we are saved through it. But on the practical side of why Jesus died, on the human side of it, he died on the cross because the Sanhedrin wanted him to die on the cross. Think about what it says in Psalm 2. It says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." Notice the word rage. Set themselves in array, take counsel against the Lord's anointed. This is the way that the world sees Christ. And so these verses reveal to us something about the reason that Jesus died the way that he did. It's because the world hated him. They didn't want to simply debate Christ and discredit him publicly. That certainly is something they wanted to do, but that's not where it stopped. They didn't just want to silence Christ and kind of remove him from the picture. They didn't want to just kill him. They wanted to kill him in the most vicious and dehumanizing way possible. They hated Christ with this intense passion because of who he was, because of what he taught, because of how his presence personally threatened them as leaders. And so the cross not only reveals the holiness of God and his hatred for sin because it canceled our sin debt. But it also shows you the hatred of the world against Christ when it rejects him as the one and only way of salvation. But there's a third thing that it does. It shows us that the cross accomplished our redemption. So it's not just that the cross could do it, it's that it did do it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "You are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says the following, "If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." The point of that is to say, listen, there is nothing that can be brought to the charge of the Christian, because the Christian's sin debt is not just going to be paid for, it has been paid for in full. As we dig into this Luke chapter 9 passage, it's important for us to consider and to recognize the implications and the weight of the cross. The cross shows us God's hatred for sin, the world's hatred for the Savior, and God's love for the sinner and his willingness to send his son to pay the ultimate price so that we could be redeemed to him. I ask you this morning, are you not thankful for what God has done for you? I ask you this other question. Do you understand what he has done for you? Have you turned to him in childlike faith and trusted alone in the finished work of Christ? There's a lot for us to process as we consider the implications of the cross. And I hope that you'll do that throughout the rest of this day. Have a blessed morning, and Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow as we continue our way through this text. Bye now.